You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, October 15th, halfway through the month already. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the other platforms that get you here. Just glad you made it to Chippewa Falls and getting your day started right here. I got a question for you. Is all hope lost? Because we do have to talk sports, and producer Parker Olson is here to help me do it. It won't be long till we're not talking about baseball at all. It'll be winter, and we'll just be waiting for the next spring training. Not that I'm looking to hasten it, but I'm just saying we got to talk about baseball while it's still here. Even if it is once again a story of Brewers bats silenced by excellent Dodger pitching, Dodgers win 5-1 and go up 2 games to Love in the league championship series. Even I, when the Dodgers got to 5-1, Parker said, "Good night, everybody." And thought, if they come back, that'll be the best ninth inning comeback surprise I could ever want to see at 4 o'clock in the morning. I did not see a comeback on my phone at 4 o'clock this morning.
No, I don't remember if it was the eighth inning or ninth inning. I think it must have been the ninth inning. That I watched. I believe it was Robert Gasser hit the first batter of the inning on his first pitch. And I almost threw my phone through the TV.
No.
And went to bed.
Yeah. Now, Gasser, I don't know much about him, but one of the things I read was they brought him in because he's got a bit of a sidearm delivery,
yeah,
or at least his arm's a little lower, and that Shohei Ohtani doesn't do well against those kinds of pitchers. But if you're going to hit the batter, that kind of negates the pitches that you might make along the way. And so, you know, that's where you're at. Look, on the very first pitch of the game, Jackson Chourio hits a home run.
Yeah.
And you're looking at Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and you're saying, well, this is a guy that during the regular season, we chased him out after 2/3 of an inning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know how to get this guy's number, and he's just given up a leadoff home run to Jackson Chourio.
Yeah.
So
it was
27 outs later, he had pitched the first complete game in a National League Championship Series in many, many years, 8 years to be exact. It was a three-hitter to beat the Brewers. And so in both games now, stellar starting pitching by the Dodgers has saved them from what is an inconsistent bullpen. But if you can't get to the bullpen, you know.
I don't understand what the Brewers are doing offensively. I don't understand the approach at all, because last night they were swinging away early in counts, like first pitch a lot, and just not getting deep into counts. What they know that they have to get into that bullpen, because the bullpen is inconsistent for the Dodgers, they're not making an effort to get into the bullpen. I don't understand what the approach is. They don't look like the team that they have been for a good three months of the year.
And all I could think of was the sweatshirts that they're all wearing, the hoodies that they're all wearing, all the teams, they have the same slogan on there, built for fall. And at the moment, it's the Brewers have to give theirs back, because they're clearly built for summer.
Yeah.
That was some great summer baseball, but they are not built for fall if this is how they're going to handle, you know, top of the line pitching in the postseason. And so they are going to have to figure this out in games 3, 4, and hopefully 5 in Los Angeles on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, because today is a travel day and things will pick up tomorrow. And again, because it's in Los Angeles, things will be a little bit earlier. Coverage will start at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network and get us there. And that's all we can really do at this point is hope the Brewers bats have figured it out. We know they're capable. They beat the Dodgers 6 games in a row during the regular season. So I am not here writing off the series, but I am saying they're, like you said, it, basically there needs to be a wake-up call.
Yeah. It's shocking to me that it didn't come last night because I'm no genius. The Brewers are significantly smarter than I am.
They're smarter. They know all this stuff. That's what makes it so frustrating. You know that they're frustrated.
Yeah.
But then
they have to know that they needed to win that game last night.
Yes.
Because winning more than once in LA is going to be tough.
I know you've seen the internet meme, and I saw it again last night with it's just a stick figure with a stick poking something, and just saying, do something. Do something, just poking this thing. And basically, people are using it either for the whole Brewers team or just for Christian Yelich, in, what, 0 for 17 or 18 slump now?
I think so.
At this point.
I read this morning that in his first postseason game with the Brewers, he had 2 RBIs.
Yeah.
He's had 1 RBI since and no RBIs in the postseason for the last, 6 years or something like that.
Yeah,
he's not built for fall.
At the moment, no, is definitely not. So that's where we stand, and we will be talking a bit more about this throughout the course of the day. Not a lot, to be honest, but we will be reminding folks that again, it's a travel day, and the Brewers will be playing in Los Angeles again tomorrow. What's coming up on the program today? Well, we're going to be talking with Ellie Bardot just after 7 o'clock. She's our new newsletter editor at Up North News. And in fact, her new edition of the newsletter has just dropped. And I'm just looking through it right now. There is an article on the 8 best must-see attractions in Wisconsin, according to World Atlas. There's a story on why Baraboo is hands down the most haunted city in Wisconsin. And then she does a quick guide to political terms, things that we're hearing like authoritarianism, autocracy, totalitarianism, and fascism. And she notes these are not just buzzwords. Understanding them helps us spot how power operates and why checks and balances matter in Wisconsin and across the federal government. So again, a very well-rounded update from Ellie Bardot. We'll talk to her after 7. Sign up for the newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. That includes, of course, my Sunday morning newsletter with a question of the week, which this week asks if you support mining in Wisconsin's North Woods. Again, subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. So on the program today, we will be talking a bit about autocracy and authoritarianism and the ongoing accolades for conservative provocateur Charlie Kirk. It led to acrimonious floor debate in the Wisconsin legislature yesterday on a resolution that honored him. We'll explain why coming up in less than 10 minutes. Also, we're going to be talking to Leslie Dock, the national president of Protect Our Care. It's a national group that is doing exactly what you think it is, making sure that the Affordable Care Act stays affordable. And that is not what is happening right now based on what, you know, Republicans have done so far in Congress. But now they need Democratic votes to pass a spending bill to keep the government open. Democrats want to play along. Just don't make health insurance more expensive for millions of Americans. And Republicans are responding with, we'd rather make people hurt more before we jack up their health care costs to boot. Leslie Dock will explain some of the stakes for just American families. Take the politics out of it. What does it mean to American families that this is the game that Republicans want to play with our federal government right now? So we will have that coming up for you. We will also be talking to Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee. Now, we booked him originally for our homeroom segment Wednesdays at 7:35, and so he will be here today at 7:35, and he will talk about legislation that he and others are proposing that would increase taxpayer accountability taxpayer transparency when it comes to the voucher school program. Make the voucher program more accountable to taxpayers as far as the true cost of it. But we will also have to talk to Senator Larson as well about the aforementioned acrimonious debate in the legislature yesterday on the Charlie Kirk resolution, because he was right in the middle of it, as I'll tell you in just a few minutes. But when he talks about the voucher school program, there's one element that taxpayers really don't know about. And it comes to mind, there's a clip of Michael Caine in one of his early movies. And I don't remember the movie anymore, but anybody that wants to do a Michael Caine impression uses that line, where it's like the line is something like, you know, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. And we have these enrollment caps on the voucher school program, and those caps are about to be blown off, and that is going to blow a hole in the budget, and taxpayers are going to be paying so much more money for the voucher program if these caps are lifted. And so we will be talking to Senator Chris Larson about that. And we'll have Earl Ingram visiting with us and Melissa Baldoff as well. We'll have our climate check. And perhaps you can't stick around for all of that. Perhaps you would like to pod this program, as they say. You can listen to us anytime on demand by heading over to Spotify and following us there, or Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And that way, if there's a guest you missed, or you want to listen back to a particular conversation, then yes, absolutely. Follow us as podcast that way. I was just looking at some of the comments that Tony is already making on YouTube, where he says, what happened to Chris Larson was bananas yesterday. Yes, I will tell you more about that. As far as what the problem is, Tony writes, I say the problem is they scored less runs than the Dodgers, and his expert analysis is that they should have scored more runs. Can't argue with that. But again, you got to solve the pitching problem first. And that seems to be where we're at right now, with hitters that, again, all throughout the season, you know, we're doing such a great job of what did Pat Murphy call them? Mosquitoes, you know, basically. And they just found, or no, woodpeckers. Yeah, they found a way to just always peck at you. And so far, the Brewers have not been finding ways to do that. Temperatures around Wisconsin are a little bit warmer than they were this time yesterday. They range from 43 degrees in several locations up north, including places like, let's see, here's that, Matt, Solon Springs. There we go. You're at 43 right now. And Manitouish Waters is at 43. And also Eagle River right now. And the high temperatures around the state, 54 right now down in the Milwaukee area, Racine, Kenosha. Lots of mid-40s. And, of course, your local forecast is coming up throughout the course of the day on your favorite civic media station. Also coming up this morning, we'll be talking a bit about the latest on the government shutdown, not just from the healthcare standpoint, but also from a trust standpoint. There is a reason why it's going to get even harder to solve the government shutdown, and it deals with trust in the White House, a White House that has shown that even if they make a deal, they can always claim to come back in and not spend the money that Congress has approved. So we'll get into that wrinkle a little bit as well. All that and so much more ahead on this Wednesday morning, live from the heart of America's up north. It's a real honor to have you here live from Lake Wissota on this Wednesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Civic Media has a daily newsletter chock full of highlights and show links and much more. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com to get subscribed to the Civic Media newsletter and get the full range of things that you could be listening to, or at least listen to the highlights of them. And again, maybe that'll cause you to get some of the shows by podcast that you're not getting right now. But to find out more, you got to get the newsletter. 6:23 right now. Yesterday would have been Charlie Kirk's 32nd birthday. I didn't mention it in the history lesson because that's for more deserving figures. So I used that time to mention that yesterday should have been George Floyd's 52nd birthday as well. Anyway, Charlie Kirk's birthday is being treated as a future national holiday by many on the political right, and it led to acrimony in the legislature on Tuesday as Republicans sought to honor the right-wing provocateur, but they objected to a full telling of Charlie Kirk's life story and his positions espousing bigotry, misogyny, and more. Which is not a surprise that the political right does not like it when you give a full retelling of history. As reported by Molly Beck and Jesse O'Point in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the resolution praised Kirk's unwavering conviction to advancing the timeless principles of faith, liberty, and truth, most notably through his founding of Turning Point USA, which boldly equipped and inspired a generation of young Americans to defend the values that sustain our nation. Really? What values would those be? I mean, do we really need to run again through the virtual roll call of racism that he gave us, among so many other nuggets? It's no wonder then that State Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee wanted to make sure the record also showed that Kirk said things like how certain prominent Democratic women, quote, do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously, end quote. Well, how did Republican Chris Kapinga of Delafield respond? Did he want to put any kind of asterisk on Kirk's halo by recognizing that? No. He called LaTanya Johnson racist. He said Johnson's criticism of Kirk was ignorance, racism, and hatred personified, he said to LaTanya Johnson, a Black woman from Milwaukee. Because that's what we have in this country right now. Whiny white people who believe that calling out racism makes that person the racist. Then there was Democratic Senator Chris Larson, who was in the middle of recounting an incident during which an Elkhorn school principal was falsely tied to criticism of Kirk, but Senate President Mary Falskowski cut his microphone. Over in the Assembly, Republican Representative Nate Gustafson of Neenah praised Charlie Kirk as a figure young people looked up to, as kind of a figurehead that really brought us back to a spot of civility in society. Civility. Civility. You know who really hates it when you call out oppression? The ones doing the oppression, because you're disrupting their civility. Why can't the rest of you people just leave alone the people in positions of power who sneer at DEI and claim that it's a racist way to give jobs to minorities when in fact DEI is there so that qualified minority candidates don't get passed over for lesser qualified but white, well-connected lackeys like a Pete Hegseth or a J.D. Vance or a Sean Duffy? In the course of the debate, there was an effort to call out violence of any type, especially political violence from the right or the left. But let's be clear about something, that while Charlie Kirk and Minnesota Representative Melissa Hortman were both victims of deadly political violence and both were name-checked during the discussion, the comparison ends there. If you're discussing Charlie Kirk and praising him, keep Melissa Hortman's name out of your mouth. One tried to make the world a better place for all, while the other is getting outsized glory for a life dedicated to white, male-dominated Christian nationalism, the cancer that has infected American democracy and, frankly, American society. It is a wedge driven less by bigots and more by an upper class that has found a perfect tool for keeping America's middle class from focusing on how much they're getting screwed by the upper crust. Because the greedy and the gullible have teamed up to use race and gender and sexual preference and certain other human vulnerabilities as diversions. And it's working. Hopefully for not much longer, but in the here and now, it's been working. It's been the recipe to electoral success for people pursuing power. Charlie Kirk is no more deserving of recognition from Wisconsin lawmakers as he is the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which was further tarnished in its being awarded to Charlie Kirk yesterday by President Trump. You know what's really the proper way to note the legacy of Charlie Kirk? I would point you to a story in Politico yesterday. The headline was, "I Love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Thousands of private messages reveal young GOP leaders joking about gas chambers, slavery, and rape." Honestly, please go read the story. It's in Politico, politico.com. I'm not saying Charlie Kirk would have agreed with everything that these morally depraved little jerks said when they thought no one would read their messages, but I am saying that every one of those young leaders in those trashy text chains thought Charlie Kirk was an inspiration. So please just keep all of this in mind when someone in your hometown invariably suggests that a local school be renamed in honor of Charlie Kirk. Our next generation of young leaders deserves better than what took place around this country on Tuesday. Coming up next will be today's history lesson, which includes a big signature hit from the Four Tops almost 60 years ago. Thanks for spending some time with us live from the lake on these mornings powered by Up North News. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. Today's history lesson starts with the Four Tops. Reach Out, I'll Be There was the number one song this day in 1966. It was, of course, written and produced by Motown's main production team, Holland Dozier Holland. They wanted lead singer Levi Stubbs to basically shout sing the lyrics. And upon hearing the final version, the group begged Berry Gordy not to release it, saying the song just felt a little odd. Berry Gordy said it was going to be a hit. Berry Gordy knows a thing or two about songs that become a hit. He was right. That song is in the Grammy Hall of Fame. Can you imagine that?
I love the spectrum of opinions sometimes.
Oh, especially on music. Because look, yeah. every song, I could never be a songwriter. But then you've created it, I mean, or performed it or whatever, you're too close to the work. You may not necessarily know that people are going to like or hate what you've done there, you know? And in this case, I mean, I can't even imagine Motown exist. I mean, Motown was going to go on. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. I can't even imagine this not being a part of the library.
For sure.
On this day in 1966, same day that this song hit number one, President Lyndon Johnson signed a bill creating the U.S. Department of Transportation with a mission to ensure that federal funds were effectively used to support the nation's transportation program through better coordination among various levels of government. In other words, things were just a hot mess when it came to what roads go where and federal money versus state money versus local money and who does what and could somebody please get everybody in a room and talk together? And that's what the U.S. Department of Transportation is supposed to be doing, created on this day 59 years ago. All right, we once again have a case of, we're not playing Pat Boone this time. Usually when we play Pat Boone as part of the history lesson, he's taken somebody else's R&B tune and made it into something that is as vanilla as it gets. But we don't have that this time, but we still have schlocky white guy music from Pat Boone's daughter, Debbie Boone.
Oh.
So many
sit by my window. 1977, this hit number one, You Light Up My Life, for the first of what would be 10 weeks in a row at number one, which at the time had never been done before. And I remember because we would listen to Casey Kasem's American Top 40. And boy, when it got to like the 10th week at the top of the charts, there were people like, wow, this song is so popular. It's such a juggernaut. And some of the rest of us going, please, could somebody else make a song,
you know,
to take this off the top of the charts? It is beautiful. It's a beautiful song, but it was everywhere.
Sometimes, Pat, during the history lesson, you tell me things that mm-hmm. songs were number one. And I'm like, really? This got to number one? Really? This got to number one for more than a day?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It was everywhere. On this day in 1951 was the premiere of I Love Lucy on CBS. On this day in 1952 was the publishing of the children's novel Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. Again, this day in 1952. All right, let's do some birthdays. Singer Chris DeBerg is 77 years old today. Lady. Richard Carpenter of, you know, the Carpenters is 79 years old today. Chef Emeril Lagasse is 66. And Sarah, Duchess of York, is also 66. Both of them born this day in 1959. Now, in 1984, country music was at a bit of a crisis. Everything was urban cowboy, was kind of this soft rock version of country music. When out of nowhere came this mother-daughter duo from Kentucky named the Judds. You've been looking for love all around the world. Baby, don't you know this country girl's still free? Why not me? It was on this day in 1984, their throwback debut album was released, and it of course would have three number one country singles: Why Not Me There, Girls Night Out, and Love Is Alive, and basically upended the urban cowboy movement at that point, to which again a nation said thank you. On this day in 1991, Clarence Thomas was confirmed as a Supreme Court justice by a vote of 52-48. Clarence Thomas has now been a justice for 34 unfortunate years. All right, you're probably going to learn something on this next one. What? The number one song this day in 1988 was by UB40. So, Red Wine, yeah, 1988, hit number one. 4 years after it had initially been released. It took a long time for that song to catch on.
What? That's the other thing. I don't understand that either.
Yep.
How does that
happen?
Well,
like a lot of, maybe just a couple of stations were playing it, and then a few more, and a few people were requesting it, and so forth. Anyway, the lead singer for UB40, Allie Campbell, said they've always known this is a reggae song, and pot it up again. You can hear it. It's... you just think, oh man, I'm on the islands, right? This is great. He had no idea until later on who wrote this song. And I would like to play for you now the version from the person who wrote this song, Parker.
Red wine.
That's
go to my head.
Again, white people, please, please.
Make me forget.
Yes, Neil Diamond wrote Red, Red Wine. And I have listened to, I think, everything Neil Diamond's ever done, because my mom grew up a huge Neil Diamond fan. And yet somehow, either I never heard this version, or I locked it away, because at no point hearing UB40 do it over the past, 40 years or so, did it occur to me that there was a Neil Diamond version out there. But now you know.
I think it's fair to just purge this one and stick with the UB40 one. Yeah.
I think so. So I hope some of you enjoyed both the first and the last time that you heard from the songwriter of Red, Red Wine. On this day in 1990, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev won the Nobel Peace Prize for the dissolving of the Soviet Union. On this day in 1993, Nelson Mandela and South African President F.W. de Klerk were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for dismantling apartheid in South Africa. Also on this day in 1993, late-night talk show host Chevy Chase had his show canceled by Fox after only 5 weeks.
I was going to say, I didn't know he had a show.
He had a show for 5 weeks where he was going to be the next big thing after Johnny Carson, because obviously everybody thought he was a very funny guy, Saturday Night Live, and some of the movies that he'd done. No, turns out that doesn't always transfer well to a late night show.
How awful do you need to be to get canceled after 5 weeks?
You need to be pretty bad. Either you need to be have terrible numbers and or be a terrible person to work with. And as I understand, it was a little bit of both, case of the Chevy Chase show. On this day in 2000, HBO premiered a new show from Larry David. I was not a regular viewer of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I appreciate Larry David. I really do.
Yeah.
But there's just a few too many cringe moments in there where it's like, you know, in that same Seinfeld way, of course, he and Jerry Seinfeld did a lot of work together.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own brand of humor. Everybody has their own lane. And I just could not get into Larry David's lane. I don't know if you watched it very much.
I've seen, I'm going to say, essentially all of Seinfeld.
Sure.
I have not seen any Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's on, like, it's in my, like, my list or whatever it is, save for later.
Yeah.
I've got to crack
still
into this.
Still saving it for later.
Still saving it for later. Maybe one of these years it'll come.
There you go. All right, let's take a look at the National Day Calendar. What are we celebrating today, Parker?
Pat, this, honestly, this should be like state holiday, and frankly, I don't know why we don't get the day off. It's National Cheese Curd Day.
Get out.
Yeah.
National Cheese Curd Day.
Yeah. I'd say we get the day off.
I just had a big old bag of cheese curds last weekend. Stopped by my favorite place, Nasonville Dairy, on Highway 29, the little yellow shack there, right before Curtis and Abbotsford. And you get them fresh, squeaky fresh, you know, right off the line. You know, you see them putting them in the little bags, the ladies with their hairnets on, and tying up the bag and giving it to you. And oh my gosh, what a treat. So squeaky, so kind of just a little bit of salty, so good. Of course it needs to be a holiday, Parker. You're exactly right.
Tony Evers,
Tony Evers, before you get done, we need to declare October 15th National Cheese Curd Day to be an official state holiday.
Yes.
I'm all in on it.
Yes.
It is still very enjoyable to this day to meet people who have never come to Wisconsin before and introduce them to cheese curds, because they see them and you tell them this is the curds, you know, from the you know, process, and they're like, ew. Ew, why would anybody eat that? Ew, ew. And then they try it.
Yeah, what do you mean, ew?
How have we not had these before? And part of it is you really do have to have them while they're fresh. You really, only the first day or so, day or two after is that it.
Yeah.
So it's still great when people come to Wisconsin and they're just so doubtful. And then that's just the squeaky fresh ones. Then what else did we do in Wisconsin? We deep fried them. Now, it's not that they need to squeak. It's that they melt. And that is liquid gold right there, boys and girls, when done right.
I'm so hungry now, Pat.
I know. All right. I didn't mean to hog up too much of the National Day Calendar. What else we got today?
No, it's okay. I like dreaming about cheese curds. It is National Grouch Day, Pat.
Is this related to Oscar on Sesame Street? Or...
No, just being grouchy.
Again, you'd think this would be a national holiday for a guy like me. Exactly,
you would.
Right?
You think that, if you're over the age of like 55, I think this becomes a national holiday. You should get the day off.
I think you should, yeah. Now, not all of them, because there are some people out there my age and older who are just delightful. And they're just always upbeat and positive. And I just don't know if you slap them real hard, will they just say thank you and carry on with their day or what? I don't know their secret. whatever it is. Maybe they have cheese curds every day. That's what makes them so happy.
Maybe that's the
secret. The rest of us are kind of grouchy from time to time.
That could be.
I don't know. All right. What else?
We've also got National Mushroom Day. Are you a mushroom guy? I'm not a big mushroom guy myself.
Again, we need to clarify. Is this a food day or is this a
food, not
hallucinogenic
psychedelic
day? Okay, not psychedelic? Okay, gotcha. I love mushrooms. My favorite pizza, which I had again last night, pepperoni, sausage, and mushroom. Love mushrooms on a pizza, love mushrooms in an omelet, love mushroom and Swiss on a hamburger. So yeah. Big fan. Other people I know do not like the texture, but I also know people like right up in this area who like to go hunting for mushrooms on their own.
A lot of people have
been able to identify the edible ones,
yeah,
and get them. That worries me a little bit.
I was going to say, be careful doing that.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad idea to me.
That's not one you want to make a mistake at. Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to State Senator Chris Larson about voucher school transparency and also that fight in the legislature, the verbal one, over the Charlie Kirk honor resolution. That's all ahead on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, before we get into Parker's entertainment news, let's move on from the Milwaukee Brewers for a sec. Again, they will be playing the Dodgers in Los Angeles tomorrow. Game 3 pregame coverage starts at 4:30. But let's remind you as well, there's still plenty of football to be played out there. The Wisconsin Badgers take on Ohio State. Coverage begins Saturday at 12:30 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, we want you to tune into the Badgers versus Ohio State because it could be history. It could be the game that you will tell your great-grandchildren about. You might have your head placed in a jar after you're gone, preserved, so you can tell your great-great-great-grandchildren about the time the Badgers beat Ohio State.
Or the time the
Badgers
gave up
100
points.
I'm not saying that's going to happen this Saturday. I'm just saying that if it did, you'd want to tell that story. So that's why you should tune in this Saturday, yeah, starting at 12:30.
Yeah.
You sound doubtful.
Okay. I don't know sometimes, Pat.
Let's move on to the Packers then. They play the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on some of the stations of the Civic Media Network, and kickoff is at 3:25 this coming Sunday. All right, Mr. Olson, what's in entertainment news?
Entertainment news. There's talk of a prequel for the Ocean's 11 franchise. And apparently Margot Robbie is already cast as the female lead for it.
Is that a shot at Julia Roberts? Like, okay, you're officially too old to be playing this now. Is it the George Clooney and all that, or is it?
Well, I think that's the only one that I know. For okay. sure right now. It's set to take place in like 1960s Europe. So like I think it's a fairly sizable time chunk before. I'm not very familiar with the franchise though, so I should not broadly talk too much about it.
And yet here it is at the top of your list. Ocean's 11, you know, there again, it is a 2001 remake of a film from 1960. And then there have been other, you know, films in the franchise since. Let's see. Do I have a list here in front of me? There's 11,
Ocean's
12,
eight,
13. Oh, here we go. Ocean's 8, the one with all the women who were involved as well. So that's why I wondered if this was maybe a take on Ocean's 8 or if it's indeed a prequel to mostly the 2001 George Clooney film.
I believe that is what the deal is, yes.
Either way, if folks haven't seen the 2001 version, I can't say the original version, that's 1960, but the 2001 remake I think still holds up pretty well. Got George Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts, and I think probably would hold up. The 1960 one is I think maybe a little less so, but you got Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop, Angie Dickinson, Cesar Romero, Shirley MacLaine, Red Skelton. I mean, basically, you have to be my age or much older to appreciate it. But it's out there if you want to, you know, watch it at some point and compare. And now we've got this potential prequel with Margot Robbie. I'm assuming she's going to be like an executive producer of it if we're putting her name along with it. But I could be wrong.
It said lead. I think it said female lead role.
Okay. Let's see. Tony puts on YouTube, she's great. The franchise is overrated. Ooh. The 2001 movie was good, but it's like the Fast and Furious franchise. Why so many?
Why? Yeah.
You know why that is, Tony. The answer to all your questions is money. All right. What else we got?
We've also got the movie that caused disruption in all theaters across America this summer, the Minecraft movie. They're looking at making a second one. And
hey, look at that. We're talking about another sequel to a movie.
Yeah.
Just so it can make some more money. Milk it.
It was the highest earning film this year. So
was it really?
That's what the people tell me.
I suppose. I mean, as somebody who, you know, brought their grandkids to it, you know, right shortly after it came out. In other words, we went early enough that we weren't part of the throwing popcorn at the screen thing or whatever it became.
Yeah. I would love to hear you yell chicken jockey.
I mean, we laughed at that point in the movie, but again, it hadn't become a disruptive force yet. All right. So 2027, we should be looking for Minecraft movie sequel.
July 2027. I believe they already have a day. I think it's like July 23rd. Like they're pretty set on trying to do this.
Nice to have goals. That's good. All right. Thing is, by that point, a lot of the original fans will have aged out. So don't make it one where you had to have watched the first movie. Although again, I don't think we're in danger of that either.
I have yet to see the first movie of it, but knowing Minecraft, I think that has an actually like decently wide range of age groups playing it. So
it does. It does. Jack Black and others did an admirable job keeping the grandparents and the parents entertained as we were in the theater. All right. Do you have any other movie news that people would find extremely interesting and compelling?
Movie news. I suppose this is movie news. Taylor Swift, because she is also, I guess, doing movies now, sort of, has a 6-episode docuseries following her Eras tour. It will be on Disney Plus starting December 12th.
And that following that is a concert film as well, right?
Yes. I'm not entirely clear if that's a separate thing that's coming out at the same time or if it's the last episode of it.
I guess we'll have to clarify that. But yes, now Taylor Swift, you can watch her on the big screen while she prepares for the next world tour, for the Life of a Showgirl album, which will eventually end after a couple of years, and it will be followed by a docuseries and a concert film. Rinse, repeat, cash the checks. She knows how to do that.
Yeah. I am a little concerned about when we get to that Knock on Wood song in that documentary.
I wasn't going to go there, but I appreciate that you did. Yes, some things will have to be addressed, and we have to keep the concert movie, you know, age appropriate for most of our young fans.
Pat, I'm not trying to manifest this at all, but can you imagine if they got divorced and then she had to keep performing that song because people loved it?
Well, I mean, there's a long history of that. Fleetwood Mac, a lot of their songs were written for people other than who they were with at the time. And yet their ex had to be out there on stage pretending to enjoy the song. So, yeah, it can be done again for the love of money. Much more after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.